All right, then we start hour number two. And this is not the way I want to start this hour. But I really have no choice. It's like in the back of my mind. Like, I know this story is just going to keep rearing its ugly head. That I go an hour. I'm going hour by hour. Not even day by day, but hour by hour. Just hoping I can get through it without this story coming back. But it keeps coming back. And it's back yet again. And I'll have it for you in a second. Meantime, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We had Thomas Davis on last hour. Hope you heard that. Ryan Watson, a former linebacker from Air Force, joins me in about 15 minutes. Latavius Murray, Saints running back, coming up a little bit later on this hour. Next hour, I've got the week that was from Alvin, and a lot more still ahead. But I start this hour with a story that, again, is not going to go anywhere. It's not going away. We know this. We know this. And for a few of you, that's a good thing. But for most of us, it's not. TMZ Sports has the latest on Bob Kraft. And the video that none of us want to see. That none of us need to see. The story is slugged. Robert Kraft masseuses claim cops leaked naked spa video. And this story reads in part, the two women accused of running the Orchids of Asia Day Spa claim Florida officials have leaked the naked surveillance video of Robert Kraft, and they want the leakers punished ASAP. The lawyers for these two women have filed new court documents calling for emergency action after new reports say that the unblurred Kraft spa video is being shopped to various media outlets. The women claim the quote, logical conclusion is that someone in one of those groups is responsible for the leak. Court documents obtained by TMZ Sports, the women claim that the only agencies that had access to the video were the Jupiter PD and the Palm Beach County State Attorney's Office. So the women are saying that it was one of those groups that leaked it. The leak would constitute a violation of the court order, which bars officials from releasing the video, and the women want the judge to hold groups in criminal contempt. That according to TMZ Sports. That report goes on, quote, the women claim release of the video would, quote, egregiously jeopardize their rights to a fair trial, end quote. Kraft, of course, has made that point repeatedly for himself. According to TMZ Sports, it's unclear if and when a judge will rule on the issue, but it should happen soon. I'm telling you, one way or another, that video is getting out. One way or another, the thing that nobody wants to see is going to be seen. So you wonder what's going on here, right? Did they leak it? Or did they leak that they were going to leak it in an attempt to get Bob to just roll, to quit, take a plea deal? I don't know. I just know this. It's getting out. I've been saying this all along. There's no way that that video does not get out. There's no way that the thing that none of us needs to see, a 77-year-old man in his junk, it's getting out. It's getting out, and it's going to be seen. I'm really not even sure why this guy's fighting this at this point. Why is he fighting any of this? Fighting it is only going to drag it out even longer. Because I'm telling you, one way or another, that video is getting out. And if the argument is releasing it now would cause irreparable harm to his chances at trial, then once the trial is over, that argument's done. That video is getting out. And it's going to cause irreparable harm to him, but even more importantly, irreparable harm to me and my show and my brand and my life. But it's getting out now. Just know that. 1-800-636-8686. Personally, I know it's inevitable, but I was hoping to get to the weekend without having to go there again. But even that was too much to ask. All right, so the draft is coming up. In case you did not know that, it is next Thursday, which means by this time next week, we should probably know where Josh Rosen is going to play football. Will the Arizona Cardinals take Kyler Murray number one overall and trade Rosen? Will they take Murray number one overall and keep Rosen? Will they take a D lineman and keep Rosen? You know, you're listening to this and thinking, damn, can we just get there already? Can we just fast forward to the draft so this question can be answered once and for all? Can we just get to a point where nobody really cares one way or another whether Josh Rosen is included in the team hype video or not? Or did the fact that he was not included in the hype video mean that they are going to trade him? Or does it mean that they haven't made up their mind yet? Or could it have been an oversight? Is it possible to make an oversight like that? But then what does the fact that Rosen was included in the follow-up hype video mean? And what about the fact that Kyler Murray was meeting with other teams? What does that mean? Does that mean that Arizona's not going to take him? Or was that a smokescreen? Is any of this real life? I mean, these are the same questions that keep popping up and have been for weeks now. Like, if you're tired of hearing about them, imagine how the hell Josh Rosen must feel hearing these questions. Because for you and I, it's a talking point. For you and I, it's something maybe to go to social with. But for Rosen, it's his life. And every single day, no, every single hour, somebody is coming up with some new theory or some new report about his life and his future. So what do you do if you're the guy in the middle of all this? You know, we're just talking heads, or we're just people with phones and keyboards. This is this guy's life. So what do you do if it's your life? What do you do if you're in the middle of it? Well, if you're Josh Rosen, you get an RV, you get some of your bros, and you take a roadie to the Grand Canyon. And you bring a camera with you, which is what they did. Rosen did a video for SITV. It dropped yesterday. And I think you know how that goes. In a situation like this, a young player who's been forced into a tough spot by things that are out of his control generally gets out of control and lashes out, and it gets ugly. So get ready for a young dude to lose his bleep and say something that he's probably going to want back the second he barks it out. Especially this guy, right? Remember the rap on Rosen when he was coming out? That he wasn't just smart, he was too smart. He wasn't just intelligent, he was too intelligent. He didn't just want to know what was being done, he wanted to know why it was being done. In other words, the guy was so smart, he was going to be a pain in the ass to anybody who took him because he's going to want an explanation for everything that is told to him. So that guy's been going through a tough spot the last few months. That guy is holding it all in. But now he's out with his bros on a road trip and somebody's got a camera in his face and they ask the question. So look the hell out, because this dude's young, he's opinionated, he's not afraid, and he's going to tear somebody a new one. In the video for SI, Josh Rosen said, and I quote, "All the reports and rumors, and I quote, are annoying, but it is what it is. Football's a business, and I definitely respect the higher-ups and their decisions," end quote. Damn, my man went there. Dude went there. Actually, no, he didn't. He didn't lash out. He didn't bring the vitriol. He didn't vent out. This guy handled the whole situation like a boss. Check this out.
"I think the season probably went as poorly as it could possibly go. But within that, had an unbelievable time. I think when people talk about, like, you can't listen to criticism or don't ever read articles, like, you have to be aware of what's going on to a certain extent. So, like, I definitely understand the situation. I mean, it's annoying, but, like, it is what it is. Football is a business, and I definitely respect the higher-ups and their decisions. Like, we won 3 games, and each one of those wins, to me, it felt like we won the Super Bowl. And, like, that feeling is so intoxicating, and that's why I just want nothing more than to be a part of a team next year and have the same opportunities to go out and compete. I think, like, the best advice I've ever gotten in life from so many different people is control what you can control, and whatever decisions are made, it's my duty to prove them right if they keep me and prove them wrong if they ship me off."
Look at this dude. I mean, honestly, that is an amazing way to handle that. That is the best way to handle that, because the fact is, it is so much more than annoying. It is so much worse than just annoyance. It's got to be beyond frustrating, because none of this is on him. Almost none of this. At least what's going on right now, none of that's on him. He can't control any of this. A lot of guys in his situation, especially young guys who had not been through it before, would be so pissed. He walked into a tough situation. This guy took an absolute physical beating over the course of the season. Got the hell beat out of him. And now everybody's talking about trading this guy. A lot of guys in his situation wouldn't even show up for the offseason workouts just so they can make a statement. Not only did Rosen show up, he was the first guy in. That's a statement. In fact, Cliff Kingsbury called his approach, and I quote, phenomenal. A lot of guys in Rosen's position would be griping to the media, talking off the record to the media, leaking things to the media, or they'd be using their agents to force the cards to publicly make a decision one way or another, or flat out just force their way out of town. It's not what he did. He just said it was annoying. That's a pro's move right there. Calling it annoying is a professional move. Don't be confused. That's not a guy who's okay with what happened last season. That's not a guy who's not owning what happened last season. You heard what he said. We won three games. Each one of those wins to me felt like a Super Bowl. It was intoxicating. That's why I want nothing more than to be a part of a team next year and have the same opportunities to go out and compete. Yeah, but what about the Cardinals, right? It's got to bug you, man. It's got to really annoy you. It's got to piss you off. Nope. Quote, best advice I've gotten is only worry about what you can control. I love that line, too. He said, whatever decisions are made, it's my duty to prove them right if they keep me and prove them wrong if they ship me off. Is this kid 22 or 52? I mean, that's really impressive. That's a great, great response. This has been an impossible situation that this guy's been put in, and he's handling it like a pro. And this was supposed to be the loose cannon that you couldn't trust. The guy that was too smart for his own good. The guy that was going to be a headache. The guy that was going to be a pain in the ass. I'm not saying this guarantees that Rosen is going to be a Pro Bowler, but it says a hell of a lot about him as a person and as a leader and as a guy that you do want in your locker room. No matter what happens, based on everything I've seen, I can't say enough about this guy and how he's handled all of this, especially as a young guy who got the hell beat out of him and it wasn't his fault. I'm not saying that he played perfectly. I'm not saying that none of it's on him. I'm saying that he's owning all of that and handling all the other stuff that's not on him really well. Respect. Nothing but respect for him and how he's handled this. And calling this guy too smart is about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. This guy's handling this like a boss. Respect. When we come back, Ryan Watson, former Air Force linebacker, joins me. Latavius Murray right after that. And yes, heads, I've not forgotten that it is Stoner Christmas Eve. I will get there. I promise. Some folks like to shop in a store. Others prefer to do it online. But no matter how you like to shop, when it comes to auto parts, shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They've got everything you need under one roof, virtual or otherwise, from batteries, brakes, and belts, to filters, transmissions, ignitions, shocks. O'Reilly has it all. They even have a full range of farm and agriculture, heavy-duty parts, tools, and supplies. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, and they have brands that you can trust, like Wagner Brakes, Monroe Shocks, Superstar Batteries, Wix Filters, and more. They can even get those hard-to-find parts, mostly with free overnight delivery, or you can shop online with free pickup in the store. Car lovers love to shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Now you can earn O Rewards points online and at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. In fact, you can earn points any way you shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll get a $5 reward for every 150 points you earn. Simply visit orewards.com and become an O'Reilly O Rewards member today. Once again, orewards.com to become an O'Reilly O Rewards member right now.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Coming up in about 20 minutes, Latavius Murray, running back for the Saints, joins us. But right now, we are joined by a former Air Force Academy linebacker, second lieutenant in the Air Force after graduation in 2017. He completed 2 years of active duty. He had 9 sacks and 38 tackles. As a senior at the Air Force Academy, he has accepted an invitation to the Lions minicamp next month. My guest is Ryan Watson. Ryan, really nice to have you on. How are you?
Doing good, sir. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, Ryan. It's a great story, so let's get into this, if you don't mind. So people can fully appreciate where you are right now. I think we have to go back a little bit. You're from Georgia. You had some options, but you chose the Air Force Academy. It's a challenge, Ryan, that a lot of people would not want to take on. Why did you accept that challenge?
So looking back at it in high school, I had plenty of other D1 offers, and of course I was very interested in playing football, but I didn't think professional football was an option for me at the time. The Academy has a lot of great opportunities. It's a pretty different experience, like you said, an experience a lot of people would turn down. But me, I kind of like a challenge. So I was the opportunities that they offered definitely interested me. And then, of course, the guaranteed job afterwards was hard to turn down.
Ryan Watson joining us. So you spend a year at the Air Force Prep School. So you already had a taste of what basic training would be like. Once you get into it, though, what is it really like? For instance, what's the most challenging part? Is it about the physical side or is it about the lack of sleep?
It's definitely the lack of sleep for me, especially a lot of the other athletes. You know, basic is kind of geared toward the regular guy, the non-athlete, just trying to get them up to speed. So if you're an athlete going into basic, it's really just a mental aspect, the lack of sleep, because they're demanding a lot of you on the mental side as well as the physical. So the mental demands combined with the lack of sleep, it's pretty tough for most people.
Ryan Watson joining us, but it is both mental and physical. For instance, as part of the training, you have to deal with an obstacle course, which involves crawling huge distances in the mud, and then you get asked questions, and if they don't like the answer, you get sent back a few stations. Yeah, like, what's that experience like?
That experience was quite awful, especially because I remember vividly, I made it to the end like 3 different times, and they would ask me questions that I just had no idea. So it's kind of like a deer in the headlight thing, and you get sent all the way back to the beginning. So it's really rough, you know, you're thinking you're almost done with something. You're like, no, you got to start from square one. But the questions they asked aren't necessarily, at the time, you don't think they're necessarily questions that hold any relevance. But through your experience at the Academy, you see why they ask certain questions and why they want you to be able to remember the little things in tough and difficult situations.
I was going to say, so what about that? Like, what's your takeaway from that part of the process? What did you learn about yourself as part of that experience?
I learned that definitely at the time I learned my limits, or what I thought my limits were, weren't. The Air Force and the DOD in general does a good job of pushing you a lot further than you thought you could go. And I learned that a lot of the time it's not about what you think is right or appropriate, but what others do. And it's like a bigger picture thing. Like some of the questions, you're like, I don't understand the point in this. But it holds a huge relevance when you're a lieutenant, so that things are kind of just muscle memory. So you just remember the important things. Like for pilots, for instance, they have to remember things from their pilot books, their pilot handbooks. They don't have time to look it up. It's just you have to know things regardless of how stressed you are.
We're talking to Ryan Watson. All right, so if we skip ahead, you're playing football. You had a big senior season. And then after that season was over, you were getting interest from NFL teams. And then word comes down that there had been a change in policy. And the new policy is that all cadets would have to serve their 2 years of active duty before being allowed to go to a professional sports team. What was your reaction when you heard that news at that time?
So honestly, I didn't hear the news because it didn't come down an official channel to us. So I didn't hear the news until Saturday, which was day 3 of the draft. Hmm. And the way we heard the news was, unfortunately, some news media had heard it before we did. And so they were putting out articles. And so teams were contacting me talking about, what is this about? And, you know, I was just reading news articles about it. So since I hadn't officially heard about it, I was like, you know, I don't think that's right. That's wrong, yada, yada, yada. But as the weekend unfolded a little bit more, me and another guy found out that was correct. We felt like the timing was rather unfortunate. We don't necessarily agree with the decision, but, you know, like most Americans, you just have to agree, or you don't necessarily have to agree, but you have to respect the decisions of those of a higher authority.
Talking to Ryan Watson, exactly, right? So the timing's really tough. It's right there in the middle of the draft, so you don't have to agree with it, but you have to accept it. At that point, what were you thinking about your future and how pro football fit into it?
At that immediate step, there's a lot of talk about us being grandfathered in, which essentially, since we had made it that far under the old policy, that we would continue under the old policy. So throughout the summer, there was still hope that I would be able to go directly. But as that hope kind of dwindled away, I stayed rather optimistic because teams were still in contact with me and my agent, still seeming interested. So I just talked to some of the older academy guys who went through the old policy process and just got their insight, got a little inspiration, and knew what to expect or learned what to expect.
Well, like you said, teams were interested. Bruce Arians and the Arizona Cardinals still invited you to their mini camp in May. What was the experience? What was that mini camp like for you?
It was definitely a tease. It was hard knowing that you were going there and that you couldn't stick around. You know, everyone has this this notion of NFL athletes as these insane players, insanely good at their craft, and they are. Don't get me wrong, but being there with those guys, you know, it opens your eyes and lets you know that you can keep up with these guys, you can play with these guys. A lot of it is just, you know, being on your P's and Q's, knowing your technique, knowing your assignment, and things like that.
All right, so you did that. So you're there. I was going to say, excuse me, Ryan, you were there, and you know, like, I fit in. I could do this. I belong here. But then instead of joining the team, you go to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, and you served as an acquisitions officer. What was that job like?
being an acquisitions officer as a young LT can be pretty difficult. It's a lot of meetings, a lot of meetings, like 3 or 4 meetings a day. So you're just, you know, it's kind of like a – kind of like the white-collar side of the Air Force. You're more discussing business than actually, you know, being downrange, being active. So for me, I would get a little fidgety in the office. I had to work out a lot to blow off some steam. Especially being an LT, you're not, like, necessarily in charge of, like, the big-ticket things. You kind of get, like, the scrap set that no one else wants. It's just kind of how it works. So it was tough at times, definitely.
We're talking to Ryan Watson. All right, so you mentioned you had to work out to blow off some steam. I mean, at the same time, you want to keep your NFL options open. So how did you go about approaching your training and making sure that you did stay in shape?
So the biggest thing for me as a D lineman was a lot of teams, even coming out of college, a lot of teams were like, we're not sure about your size. So the biggest thing for me at first was trying to bulk up. So I got up to 260, low 260s. But when I got there, I didn't really like how I moved. I didn't like how cardio was for me because I still had to pass all the Air Force tests and abide by their regulations. And so I didn't like that combination. So I dropped back down to like 250, kind of just hovered there. The fortunate thing about me and my career was that they allowed me to combine my lunch hour with gym time. So during the middle of the day, I had like a dedicated gym session. And then I would also work out like a second time either before work or after work. So it was pretty good for me as far as a physical standpoint. But as far as like mental football side of it, you know, footwork, seeing things, live fire, that was hard. It was just mainly watching film, like old film that I had, things like that.
So I'm kind of curious, like in the back of your mind, obviously you've got the NFL and you never finished pursuing that dream. But at the same time, you're doing well in the Air Force and you've got opportunities to advance and make a career out of that too. So what's your mindset? Was it hard not to take on those opportunities? I mean, how were you able to juggle both those things, both those careers?
To be honest with you, I did not always juggle it well. There are definitely sometimes, like you said, the Air Force is a great career, great opportunity. You're making good money, and it's definitely more stable than the NFL could be. So there are a lot of times where I was like, do I really want to give this up for the NFL? But, you know, the NFL has been like a childhood dream for most football athletes. And so it was hard for me not to pursue it. But it was definitely a struggle, especially because how demanding and how rough the Air Force lifestyle can be. I had friends who went to like Okinawa and stuff like that for training, but I would have to turn it down. One, because I knew I wasn't going to use it later, and I would have to. It would kind of be like an additional commitment thing, but it would have taken away from others. But just foregoing opportunities and things of that nature that would have been not only beneficial to my Air Force career, but definitely fun.
All right, so bottom line, you recently completed your 2 years of active duty. You are now able to pursue the NFL once again. 2 years away from that and being in active duty, what's that done for you physically and mentally as you get ready to take this on now?
I'm definitely a lot healthier than I was coming off my senior season. So I missed, I want to say, like roughly 3 games due to a Lisfranc injury. I also had a partial PCL tear my senior year. So those were nagging injuries going into the 2017 year or season. Those are fully healed now. And then mentally, you know, I've just matured a lot more. I know what it's like to be off on my own, you know, budgeting, spending money, things of that nature.
So finally, the road has not been easy, but from the outside, you strike me as somebody who's not looking for the easy path, right? If so, you would not have gone to the Air Force Academy in the first place. Knowing all of this and what you've been through, what would it mean to you to make an NFL roster after 2 years away from the game?
It would mean the world to me, honestly. You know, life is all about perseverance. At the Air Force Academy, it's all about quotes. And one of my favorite quotes at the Academy was, tough times don't last, tough people do. So just making it through all of this, you know, achieving my dream, serving my country at the same time, it would definitely be a nice realization. And then also, you know, there are a lot of other guys at the academy who are struggling, who don't know what they want to do, whether they want to pursue this or not. And so I think it'd be good on me to kind of set the example and show that it can still be done.
He is a former Air Force Academy linebacker, a second lieutenant in the Air Force after graduation in 2017, and has accepted an invitation to the Lions minicamp next month. Ryan Watson, my guest. Ryan, I appreciate you. Thanks so much. Appreciate that story, too. Good luck with it.
Thank you, sir. Have a nice day.
You too. Ryan, thank you. Ryan Watson, good story. Really good story. How do you not pull for him? All right, when we return, you can react to it. You can bring something else to it, or you can just wait on our next guest. Latavius Murray, Saints running back, coming up next. I see one alleged former Smackoff winner on hold. The world's best, including Dustin Johnson, Francesco Molinari, Jordan Spieth, and more, are in beautiful Hilton Head Island for the RBC Heritage. It is this weekend on CBS. Got a sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. All right, we are going back to back in hour number two. If you're on hold, stay there. Phone line's coming up later on. But we are joined right now by a running back for the New Orleans Saints. He is a Pro Bowler. He signed a four-year deal with the Saints last month. He led the Vikings with more than 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns in the past two seasons. Played his college ball at UCF, where he was all-conference. He was the 181st pick in the 2013 draft. The Saints are going to open up against Houston on September 9th. Latavius Murray is my guest. Latavius, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim. How you doing?
Good, good. Good to talk to you. So let's talk about where you ended up. Yeah. You were an unrestricted free agent this year. You had a number of different ways that you could go, but you said the Saints were, quote, a no-brainer. You'd gone up against them a number of times in the past few years. What was it, though, about the Saints that made them a no-brainer to you?
Yeah, I just think if you just look at where they've been as far as just being right there that close in the past few years and having the opportunity to, you know, obviously play for a championship. And you know, to me, that's what it's all about. And so to give myself that the best opportunity to do that, you know, that's why I say it was a no-brainer for me.
And then obviously you look at that offense and it's just loaded. You've got Drew Brees at the center of that thing and plenty of weapons around him. So as you look at that offense, how exciting is that to you and how good can that offense be?
Very exciting. You know, a lot of playmakers, a lot of weapons, and then obviously a Hall of Fame quarterback that's headed the whole thing. And so very excited. You know, obviously, again, I've played them, seen them play many a times, you know, three times in the past 2 years. And so I'm just excited to be a part of it and excited to go out there and try and bring what I can to the offense and to the team.
Latavius Murray, my guest. You know, I'm kind of curious about your approach and your mindset. As an example, I had Thomas Davis on the show earlier today, and we talked about the fact that he's made the move from Carolina to Los Angeles and how he's going to approach it. What about you? Do you feel like you need to prove yourself all over again with a new start and a new opportunity?
Yeah, it's, I think, you know, this, you know, to me, I guess when you're coming into the NFL, obviously I'm just, you know, excited to have the opportunity to play at the highest level. And so you don't know how your story will end up. You don't know who you'll play for, obviously. And so I've been fortunate enough to play now going into my seventh season and play for two great organizations and, you know, headed into my third, you know, great organization. And so each one you want to leave a mark. And so for me, I think that's what it's all about. For me is just leaving a mark and bringing what I can to the team and the organization and doing all I can to help them win. And I say bring what you can. That's on and off the field. Just leaving a mark. I think that's what it's about. I think that's how you stay around long and doing things the right way.
Latavius Murray is my guest. I think that's a really important point. I mean, let me keep you there for a minute. Like, the draft is coming up next week, so it's been 6 years since you were selected with the 181st pick overall. As you look back on that experience, what kind of thoughts do you have?
You know, I just look at, like, me, to be honest, you know, there's a lot of hype before the draft. There's a lot of hype that goes into it, you know, with the college players that are coming out, and not to say that they don't deserve any recognition or they don't deserve, you know, any credit up until the point they've gotten, because there's a reason why they're in the position that they are. But for a guy who wasn't a highly touted, you know, college player, a highly touted high school football player, hype doesn't mean anything to me, and it's just the beginning. Because if you look at it, and if you would have thought, you know, when the Raiders drafted me sixth round at the 81st pick, you know, would this guy do anything? Would he make anything happen in the NFL? And I'm sure many would have thought no. And so for me, that's why it doesn't matter. And so I think that approach is just that. I hope all these guys understand is that it's just the beginning of every single thing that you've worked for previously, but it really is just the beginning. It doesn't matter how you got there.
Latavius Murray joining us. And to that point, you know how the league is, right? Number one, I agree with you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're taken. We've seen this time and time again. Guys who are highly picked do not pan out. Somebody taken where you are has had the career you've had. So what about the career you've had? How much pride is there? Given that guys do not last long in that league, no matter where they're taken, how much pride do you have in the fact that you're not only a Pro Bowler, but you've had as long a career as you have?
Yeah, I just take pride on I guess everything that I've done. I've tried to do things the right way. I tried to take care of my body. I tried to train and prepare in the off season the right way. During the season, you know, the same, train and prepare the right way. So I take pride in believing in everything that I've done in the past, and everything that I'm doing currently has, you know, got me to where I am and has kept me where I am. And my, you know, my hunger for more, my, you know, never being satisfied, you know, just wanting more. I think that's just, you know, I can rest and sleep at night, you know, knowing that, you know, my mindset is in the right place and will always be. And so, you know, with that, I can, you know, sleep at night and feel good about it every morning I wake up.
Latavius Murray, my guest, and it's not just football. Last time you and I spoke, we talked about the fact that you were pursuing a master's in business administration. For those who do not know, why was that something that you wanted to pursue?
Just because I've been through some injuries in college, you know, the NFL, and, you know, through each injury, again, I've had the time to sit and think, like, man, what if this was it? You know, what if I don't recover from this injury 100%? What if I'm not able to play, you know, at all? What if I'm not able to, you know, what if I'm not the same? And so when you have the time, because that's all you do when you have an injury and you sit out, is you have time to think. And so for me, I got to thinking, you know, that there was definitely something that I needed to do to make sure when I am done playing that I have a plan.
So how close are you to completing that?
So next off season. So I'm only able to do it in the off season. So next off season I'll be graduating. Next off season I'll be finishing up. You know, and I can't wait, man. It's gonna be a good time.
That's
to be
great.
Honest, because
yeah.
It's been a lot going into it.
I was going to say, that's a great accomplishment. Latavius Murray, my guest, that's going to be a good time. So you're playing the game at the highest level. You're having a great NFL career, but you were at the Final Four earlier this month. What was that experience like?
Yeah, it was great. You know, got the chance to, you know, go back to Minnesota and you know, witness, you know, a national championship in that beautiful stadium, you know, one last time. And then, you know, if you just talk about the game itself, I think the whole tournament this year, I feel, has been really, really exciting. I think every game has
giving you exactly what you want. For the championship game to go into overtime, you know, I thought it was exciting, and I was definitely happy for Virginia, who I picked as a favorite, you know, early on and during the regular season. There was something about them that stood out when I seen them come back down, I think, almost 20 at UNC on the road, and just seeing how special that team was. So it was good to see that kind of come to life.
Yeah, you were on them. You were on UVA. You said 2 months before that they would win the whole thing, and they did. And you kind of touched on this, but what did you make of the way they handled the pressure throughout the tournament? I mean, not once, not twice, but three times they were able to dig deep and come back.
Yeah, again, I seeing that against a really good UNC team who, you know, I think gave a lot of teams, you know, at one point was ranked, I think, number one or reached number two. You know, they beat Duke. Just you talk about a really good team. And so when you're able to go into UNC and win, that's tough, you know, regardless. But when you're able to go into UNC and be down 10 or 20 it was at halftime and come back and find a way to win, that shows another level of heart and fight. And so I think that showed throughout the whole tournament that they never, you know, at any point they never panicked, never.
We're talking football, we're talking basketball, we're talking academics, we're talking life with Latavius Murray. Listen, really quick, before you go, you're good like that. Before you go, you know, when you talked about signing with the Saints, you and I talked about how you were familiar with them, you had gone up against them. Another way you knew them, though, was you had seen their post-game celebrations on Instagram and Snapchat. What did those parties tell you about the bonds on that team and the chemistry on that team?
Yeah, you know, I just, from everybody that I talked to, Coach Payton, Mark Ingram, Teddy Bridgewater, the locker room is special. I think I could hear it in Mark, you know, when we talk through text, him praising the locker room. And so I just think, that's just something that's really, really good to hear, especially when you're a new incoming player, going to have to get to know these guys and go out there and play with them. Those are the things you want to hear. And so it's a really good feeling. I'm excited to get in there and fit right in so I can be the one, in those videos this time around celebrating and dancing.
All right, so what about that last thought? If Teddy Bridgewater is the absolute king of the celebrations, and he is right now, is there any way that you can go in there and rip that crown as king of the celebrations, or is Teddy just in a class by himself?
Man, I think Teddy is definitely Teddy's always been in the class by himself, man. If you just look at, obviously, you know, look at what Teddy has came back from and what he's doing, man, got the heart of a lion. And so I don't want to even take his crown from being the dancing king. I'll let him have that, man, and just cheer him on.
That is smart. I like that. He's a Pro Bowler. He signed a 4-year deal with the Saints last month. And remember, he led the Vikings with more than 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns in the last two seasons. But a new opportunity and a new challenge for Latavius Murray. Latavius, great to get caught up. I appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Jim. Have a good one.
You too, man. Great talking to you. As always, I'm impressed. All right, so we're setting up hour number three right now. Watch that camera, Hawk. Latavius Murray coming up big. Quickly to end hour number two and to set up hour number three. This tweet is from Benny in Wisco. Quote, "No leaker should go unpunished. Yours, Cousin Urine." Yeah, Benny, I see what you did there. It's not clever. It's not smart. You turned Cousin Yuri into urine. You talked about leaking. Hey, Rome, the Raiders have scouts? You mean guys that hold a mirror out of the cell to see when the guards are coming? Signed, imprisoned Raider fan. Steve PHX, War Gruden, holding his hand over his mouth while talking during team meetings. The War saved that email. Dysfunctional much. They don't trust their own scouts right before the most important draft they've ever had. All right, third hour is coming up. When we start the third hour, I think I will reach out to you heads. It is Stoner Christmas Eve. Wait for it.